Good morning and welcome back to Current State. I'm Sue Carter, filling in for Mark Bayshore. And the weather is cold outside. I looked at the temperatures for the next couple of days. We have a cold warning. What a surprise for this winter. But, you know, the boating season is not that far away. And it is important for us to realize that pretty soon we're going to be able to put the boat in the water. So with that optimistic view, joining me this morning is Jonathan Albrand. He's Vice Flotilla Commander and Public Affairs Officer for the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary. Jonathan, welcome. Good to see you again.
It's good to be here.
Oh.
Despite the cold.
Despite the cold. And really, I mean, we're coming up on March. In 2 months, people will have boats in the water. So your job then really starts to gear up as a member of the Coast Guard Auxiliary, right?
Yeah. So the role of the Coast Guard Auxiliary is basically boating safety and helping serve the Coast Guard in terms of their boating safety missions and public awareness of boating safety issues. We don't get involved at all in the enforcement side of things. But to that extent, as the season starts to kick up, the ice starts to melt, people are starting to get their boats out. Even last year when we had that really big thaw, people were out on the water, and the water was extremely cold. There was still ice chunk, but they were out there fishing and things like that. And so part of what we try to do is build awareness of things like, you know, you should wear your life jacket, especially in cold water. Mm-hmm. You should also, you know, be aware of the wind and the weather conditions and things of that sort. So we try to build some awareness. And part of that is through our public education outreach. We offer safe boating classes. And we try to do a number of those in the springtime prior to the boating season. And then we also do vessel safety checks. And we will come to your home, or we'll come to the launching ramp over at Lake Lansing, for example, and set up for a couple hours, and we'll provide free vessel safety checks to make sure that the boats are compliant with state and federal regulations.
Now, how many organizations make home calls these days? That's pretty amazing.
Well, you know, we do that occasionally. And it's not uncommon for one of the auxiliarists in our flotilla to walk down the street in his neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And just introduce himself to his neighbors and say, hey, I see you got a boat sitting in your front yard. Would you like a free vessel safety check?
Fantastic. You're in uniform today, and you know, people see someone in uniform, military, Coast Guard, but it's not part of the military service exactly. Can you talk about how the auxiliary fits in?
Yeah, so the Coast Guard Auxiliary actually is celebrating this year its 75th anniversary. And it was established in 1939 by Congress as basically the reserve, and then a couple of years later they basically broke the reserve off and then made the auxiliary the volunteer civilian force. Now, what happened later on then is, as we went into World War II, there were over 50,000 auxiliary members who mm-hmm. were either serving in active duty or using their own boats and working as volunteers to provide security for the shores and the bays of the United States. So it's a very interesting relationship. There's nothing else like it out there with the other military services.
Yeah, I didn't think there was an Air Force auxiliary.
No, I mean, you know, we've heard of the, like, Civil Air Patrol.
Right.
Yeah. But we work in a very unique relationship with the Coast Guard Auxiliary, or the active duty Coast Guard. And there is a great amount of mutual respect and honor between the organizations. Mm-hmm. We will work with them side by side on different kinds of missions, things like last year, for example, I had the honor of helping to escort the tall ships Bay City.
And that had to be a thrill. Those are amazing, aren't they?
That was a lot of fun. And on the water, besides us in auxiliary boats, there was the local sheriff, there was the DNR, there mm-hmm. was the active duty Coast Guard, and on their boats, of course, you know, were Homeland Security people, because this kind of an event would be a potential mm-hmm. security risk.
Right.
So we actually work just like the Coast Guard, except we're not involved in any kind of law enforcement. We're not allowed to carry weapons, and nor should we. But our mission is strictly, if any time that we can prevent an incident on the water from happening by providing education and training to someone through a safe boating class, mm-hmm. that's one less search and rescue mission that somebody will have to go out on.
So it's great preventative.
Absolutely. And we train for search and rescue. So mm-hmm. we get the same kind of training that the Coast Guard does, but they are usually the first ones that are called out.
We in Michigan love our boats, and I just looked up some statistics. Michigan has the most registered boats in the entire nation.
Exactly.
Yeah, over a million is the latest figure I saw. So Michigan's number one with a million, followed by Florida, California, makes sense. Minnesota with its 10,000 lakes. We have more, by the way.
But we have more shoreline than any other state except Alaska.
Yeah, and Alaska doesn't even show up on the top 10, but of course the population's lower. So that's an awful lot of boats to keep a check on. Those are the registered boats, and
right.
There are, of course, some unregistered boats.
Exactly.
What does the vessel safety check entail, and what is the result of that check?
Yeah. So the vessel safety check is basically looking at a vessel and checking it for those items that are required for operation on state and federal waters.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that those things are present. And that can be many different things depending on what kind of boat you're looking at. For example, we can do a canoe and kayak safety check, and that's going to be different than a motorboat. But we look at things like life jackets, lighting, availability of the life jackets.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a fire extinguisher? If you have an inboard engine, do you have a spark arrest device on
right.
your engine? Do you have bilge pumps and things, are they operational? So it's really looking for the safety and operational pieces. Now, here in Michigan, that is such an important thing that mm-hmm. In the state legislature, they've actually mentioned that, when someone has completed a safety check, it is, and this is not the rule, but this is what they have said, it is less likely that they would be pulled over if they have a safety check sticker on their boat. Now, that's not the same in every state. Other states
right.
won't do that, but that was actually mentioned last year. When you think about it, unless you're performing bad behavior on the water, just the fact that you've had your boat go through that safety check, that is essentially a little micro lesson in boating safety that
mm-hmm.
we provide when we do the check.
And I think it really shows the respect that the legislature has for the Coast Guard Auxiliary, saying, you folks are doing a good job.
Right, right.
Yeah. You mentioned bad behavior, and I want to touch on that for just a second, because bad behavior can take in dangerous or reckless use of a watercraft.
Yeah.
If I see one more ski-doo that cuts in front of my kayak, I might be unhappy.
Yeah.
But it's also alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Alcohol is the number one contributing factor to incidents on the water. The number one overall factor for all incidents is operator inattention.
Yeah.
And that gets really interesting when you start looking at the statistics and looking at how it breaks down every year. The number one boat type is an open motorboat. And statistically, that's just because there's so many of them. In terms of death on the water, canoes and kayaks outdo, I'm not by numbers, but statistically, they're,
right.
they're the number one. Because pretty much, if you swamp a canoe or a kayak, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I've done that,
yeah.
too. It's not fun.
And of course, the whole thing is wear your life jacket. Drownings, that's the piece that people don't think about is when you look at the deaths on the water and the drownings, mm-hmm. most of them could be prevented. 85% of all the deaths on the drownings could have been prevented because they weren't wearing life jackets.
Mm-hmm. PFDs, personal
flotation devices.
And we think of them as life jackets. What do they look like these days? What is a PFD and what isn't? What qualifies? What doesn't?
They can be different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a couple of them. I have a nice, what I call a ski vest type thing that
yeah.
I wear. I'm a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because it's comfortable. It provides padding. It provides warmth in cool temperatures.
Right.
When it gets hot, it's not as comfortable. Now, a lot of people are wearing some of these inflatable. Maybe you've seen these. These look like a pair of suspenders that go around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like the ones on the airplanes, where they
do not inflate
until
you have enough.
That's right. And some of those will auto-inflate.
Sure.
And a lot of people will get those for everyday use, and that's fine. If you fall in the water, they'll auto-inflate.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not as safe as a regular life jacket that would support your head and keep you above the water.
Right.
With those inflatables, though, they're not for kids. They're
mm-hmm.
for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key thing is you got to have the right age to be able to wear one of those. There are some things that are, and this is actually cautionary, there are some things that are popping up now called buoyancy aids that are not Coast Guard approved.
What are those?
They look like life jackets, but they have less flotation, and
okay.
they're being marketed by, you can get one at some place, to help swim or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, right.
But that's not a Coast Guard approved life jacket.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to turn your face up if you're unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to do what it's supposed to do. And unfortunately, oftentimes we'll find those on boats when we do safety inspections and say, well, you know, this is actually not Coast Guard approved. So you have to look at the label and make sure it says Coast Guard approved.
Right. And swimmies, of course, you know,
right,
for kids. I mean, they're great for starting them out to help them swim if you're with the kid in the water.
Right.
But that's about it. The Coast Guard, you know, often we think of it as, you know, the coast of the United States, the Great Lakes, but it's rivers, it's little lakes, you mentioned that, navigable places in Michigan.
Right.
Everything except your backyard pond, kind of, right?
Pretty much. I mean, the active duty Coast Guard really supports the navigable waters mm-hmm. of the United States. And the auxiliary, we kind of fill in the gaps in some sense, because there are, I mean, you look at all the lakes that are around, and, you know, we're out on patrol. I have some colleagues who are in Iowa, and that's about as landlocked as you get.
Yeah, really.
And
don't drown in corn very often.
That's yeah. right. And they still patrol rivers and streams, and they provide, again, some of the, you know, the vessel safety checks. They'll do the safe boating courses, and they'll go out and patrol. And they've mm-hmm. actually had rescues where they've helped people.
Certainly.
I mean, you know, people's boat will catch on fire. You know, there's a lot of incidents every year. Even here in Michigan last year, there was a tragic incident of a jet ski and a child on a tube. Year before last, there was a woman who lost her leg in yeah. Kalamazoo when mm-hmm. a boat backed over her, you know, propeller strikes. So, you know, those are inland lakes, mm-hmm. and the Coast Guard isn't going to come into there. But, you know, if obviously, first responders are going to be your police and fire people there, but the auxiliary can help where we can.
Right. Well, and let's touch just a second on the auxiliary. 75th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody join?
Yeah, anybody can join. You need to be a U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. You need to pass an exam and security check. So
that
is something that's a little different than a lot of other volunteer organizations, which say, hey, we're glad anybody's going to volunteer. We are glad, too. We want people to volunteer. We would like people to be actively involved. It is a little different environment because you do wear a uniform. You are representing, you know, in the eyes of the general public. When people see me, they don't see Coast Guard. They say, oh, Coast Guard. They don't understand. And candidly, it's difficult to explain to someone who mm-hmm. just says, thank you for your service, to say, well, okay, I am not active duty, but, you know, that's just, you know, it's just easier to make that assumption.
To just acknowledge it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, we are serving the country. Mm-hmm. We are. We do carry IDs that allow us onto military bases. You know, we have to go through a background check.
Right.
But at the end, it's very satisfying. I spent 2 years in the Army when I was mm-hmm. younger, and had I known about the Coast Guard Auxiliary, I probably would have joined that after the Army. Because I really enjoy the work that I get to do here.
And maybe this broadcast will help put that word out a little bit more.
Well, we're absolutely looking for people mm-hmm. to be a part of the auxiliary. And there are many ways you can gather skills. Even a lot of the younger people, we have a number of younger people who have come into our flotilla who are also going through things like first responder training, things mm-hmm. of that sort. And this adds to their skill set as well. So it's a great way to add some skills, to gain some knowledge and experience that it's sort of like living an internship for a lot of young people.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for taking time, Jonathan, to join us today. Jonathan Albrand, Vice Flotilla Commander, Public Affairs Officer, U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, the Lansing Flotilla. Thanks, and we'll see you out on those lakes and rivers.
Thank you.
Take care.